I sound hot. I'll bring a message this morning entitled Things That Fail Not. And the list is really short. Now, this is one of those Jack Howes kind of messages. This is not a Jack Howes message, but it's the way Jack Howes preached most of the time. One point. And just beat it to death from three or four different angles. We only have one point this morning, but I want to push the one point to the point you begin to grow weary of it before we make our conclusion, because I want to emphasize as best we can the conclusion. Because in my personal opinion, the conclusion is just wonderful. Just, I love the conclusion. Now, things that fail not. There are things we take for granted. There are things that we assume have pretty much always been, at least in our experience, and to the best of our knowledge, they will always be. We just take them for granted. But some of those things are bound to fail. The list of things that won't fail are just incredibly short. And to illustrate that, I want to give you some things that will fail. Now, everybody in this room, I'm sure, is familiar with failure. I don't know anybody that succeeds at everything. And I certainly don't know anybody where everything in their life is always a success. Where everything always works out like you wanted it to work out. That would be a wonderful thing. Well, maybe. Now, sometimes I wonder if things really went the way we wanted it to go, what the outcome would really have been. You know, sometimes the best thing that happens, you don't get or you aren't successful at some of the things you endeavor. Now, where was I at? I don't know what I did. It didn't make a difference. My mind is not 100% this morning. In the dictionary in the 1828 and in the other Webster dictionary, the collegiate edition, there are at least 15 different ways to define failure. For example, if you try to do a thing, you try to make the ball team and you don't make it, what have you done? You failed to make the team. You take a test to demonstrate that you've acquired a certain amount of knowledge or proficiency in a particular subject or task, and you don't make it. What have you done? You failed. Amen. In 1929, the banks did what? They failed. Amen. You go and visit somebody and talk to them and you discern that their health is in a state of decline. What do we say? We say their health is failing. Okay. Now, all those, that's a different slant on the definition of the same word. But that one word is properly used in all of those ways, and there's a whole bunch more. So when I say things that fail not, there could be different categories of things that fail not. However, we've pretty much narrowed it down to one. Now, the things that fail, man, that's just almost limitless. If you have an electronics device, sooner or later it will fail. If you have a mechanical device, sooner or later it will fail. If you have a memory, sooner or later it will fail. Amen. Your health will sooner or later fail. Everything in our system is in a state of decline or declension. It will reach a point at some point where it cannot do what it's always done or what it was intended to do. It can't sustain it, and so it will ultimately fail. So what's not in that category? Not much. True love has been known to fail. Amen. Happiness fails all the time. People trying to climb the ladder of success fail all the time. It's almost weird. Now, you and I live in a society where we don't want to tell a kid that they failed. We'd rather lie to him and say, well, your success level is less than others. But you didn't fail. And the truth is, you fail. I've never found or figured out why it's wrong or how there is any advantage in denying what is obvious to everybody. If you failed, you just failed. Does that mean you're bad or destined to failure? No. It just means you've got to get up, regroup, try harder next time. Amen? Instead of buying a $25 paper shredder that fails with two sheets of paper, pay $100 for a paper shredder that will fail with five sheets of paper. I want to talk to you about that for just a few minutes. I have a list of six or seven things here that will fail, that we take for granted. We think that it's just beyond our comprehension that these things could or would fail. For example, the strength of man shall fail. Now, I'm not talking about just your muscles. I'm talking about the strength of mankind, our ability to go forward, our moral character, our fiber, the integrity of the human race. As you have well noted, it is in a state of decline for the last century or so. And humanity is on the verge of imploding because we have no strength of character anymore. We have no moral fiber anymore. And the human race is on the borderline of failure. To the point that we can't govern ourselves anymore. We can't rule ourselves anymore. We can't put a bridle upon us and direct our ways. Humanity is right on the edge of failure. The Bible said in Psalm 71 verse 9, cast me not off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Now, that's talking about an individual person growing old and weak, and they fail to do things they used to do. But that thing can be expanded exponentially to include mankind, because mankind it's demonstrable that we don't have the integrity. We don't have the mental capacity to analyze and be that we used to have. We confuse technology with intellect. They're not the same thing. If you want an example of how far down things have come in man, how our strength has declined to the point of failure, go back and go pick up Josephus's History of the Jewish Wars. That guy wrote thousands of pages, had 100 plots, thousands of characters, all operating and keeping track of at one time. The first time I read that thing about Bloom, I thought, how in heaven's name can anybody be aware of so many situations and so many coups and so many operations and so many behind-the-wall things and so much public policy in the lives of so many people across so many countries and write it all down at one time. I mean, it's just phenomenal. Nowadays, you can't get kids to read Lewis L'Amour. Amen. Back when John and Charles Wesley were learning Greek when they were 4 years old, you can't get kids these days to read nor comprehend Hardy Boys. Don't tell me that we haven't declined to the point we're basically on the point of failure. The American public, and I'm sure it's around the world, intellectually, philosophically, morally, we are just declined to the point, if we keep going as a society, we won't be able to operate long. The strength of man will fail. And that's why the world will have to look for a leader to pull it out of the morass that it is sunk into and lift it up and stabilize it. The world soon will be looking for a savior, a deliverer, somebody that's got the guts and the intestinal fortitude that has the character and the integrity, they hope, to lift humanity up and put them back on the straight and narrow. The strength of man will fail. Secondly, man's heart will fail. Now, everybody's familiar with heart attacks and heart failure and heart disease and we have all kind of issues with our heart, and we got more words than I can possibly remember for the different aspects of heart disease. But the bottom line is it's heart disease and it's going to kill you. Amen. When the heart goes, you're dead. I know they can put you in a new one. They can borrow it from somebody and stick it in your chest. But it just prolongs the agony. You're still going to die and it's still going to fail. But more than the individual heart, I wanted to look at it in a bigger perspective than that. The Bible said in Luke chapter 21, verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. That's a prediction that there's a time when there's going to be massive heart failure because of fear. The anxiety, the apprehension, the dread, the sense of not knowing what's going to happen, the instability. If there's anything humanity likes, we like to be stable. We want to feel comfortable that things will be tomorrow as they were today. And you take that away from us and we suffer national psychosis. We get rabid. Because we have to have some kind of an anchor. Now, religion worked really good. Christianity was excellent, but we've cast all that off, and now we're adrift in a sea of not knowing. And if you look around the world, the uncertainty and the fear of that uncertainty has swept across this nation, and you see kind of chain reactions of it all across the Middle East. And it's just going to get worse. And there's coming a point when large portions of the population of this planet will die from heart failure induced by fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of what's coming, fear of because they don't have any anchor, fear because they have no purpose, fear because they have no direction, fear because the economy has fallen. Fear. And sooner or later, that fear, that tension, that anxiety takes a toll and the heart fails. You say, well, that's your opinion. That's what that book said. It said they were going to have heart failure because they were looking at what was coming and it literally scared them to death. Thirdly, the seas shall fail. The Atlantic and the Pacific and the Antarctic and the Indian and all the oceans and the Mediterranean and all, you say, they've always been there and they're always going to be there. Well, nothing has been there forever. The only thing that's been there forever is God. And the only thing that's going to be there forever is God. And everything else is subject to failure. Amen? It doesn't have to go completely out of existence to be a failure. It just has to reach the point where it can't do what it was supposed to do. And then it's a failure. Amen? Now, the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 19 and verse 5, "And the waters shall fail from the sea, and the rivers shall be wasted and dried up." Well, I just don't believe that. Well, if you're a Bible believer, you better believe that. Amen? Al Gore is predicting that the poles are going to melt in a year or two. A year or two! He thinks it took billions of years to get them up there, but they're going to disappear in 2 years. And everybody thinks that's rational and sane. And then some guy gets up and says, "God said He's going to dry the oceans up." And it's, "I don't believe that." Well, help yourself, knucklehead. I mean, think anything you want to, but it's going to happen anyway. You know what one of the major planning issues of today is around the world? Water. Water. At the rate we're going, another 10 or 15 years, water, purified, clean water, usable water, potable water, will be one of the rarest, most expensive things on this planet. All those great big aquifers they've got out there in California and all them places, some of them are over 50% gone already. And they're sucking the water out of there as just as hard as they can. You know why they didn't want to put the pipeline down through from Canada down to Texas? Because it runs over the top of a couple of large aquifers up there that's got a few billion gallons of water stored away in it. And they don't want it polluted because we're going to need it. Amen. Suppose the sun begins to go supernova. You know, they just had a giant eruption on the face of the sun, and we had a warning this week about possible disruption of the satellites and the cell phones and all that because we got solar flares. Suppose we had a real big one, a really big one, and the temperature on the planet rose 10 or 12 degrees worldwide for 6 months. You know what would happen to your water and your rivers? Be gone. The Bible said in Job chapter 14, verse 11, "As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up." There are a number of references in that book about the waters, the rivers, drying up. Some of them change courses, then they dry up. I saw a thing on National Geo just a few days ago. This guy was in one of them survival things, and he's going down this raging river. And they took some wood and a plastic sheet and made him a little canoe and all that, you know, and they thought they were home free. And all of a sudden, they hear this rumbling, and they know they're going over a falls. And so they try to get out. They don't make it. They go over the edge, and they're in a big pool down there. And it tears their boat up. So they get out, and then they can't hear the river anymore. And they walk over and look, and so help me, that whole river, I'm not talking about a little stream, I'm talking about a river, disappeared underground. That river comes down through there and it goes to a certain point, and after that it was gone. There wasn't even a riverbed down here. It's been underground for years. I'm telling you, there's coming a day when the seas will dry up. They will fail. We take them for granted. Shipping is a multi-trillion dollar a year endeavor worldwide. What happens if the rivers dry up and the seas dry up or greatly diminish so that worldwide navigation is impossible? You're talking about failing. If the seas fail, almost everything will fail. Then the day is coming when the sun and the moon shall fail. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light." Now you and I take it for granted that every morning the sun's coming up. We set our clocks by it, sunrise and sunset. We expect the moon to be in the sky. Sometimes it looks like a fingernail. Sometimes it's a big round orb and it shines. Job said, "Behold, the moon, it shineth not," you know, because it's a reflected light. But we navigate by it. We set our seasons by it. The sun is one of the most stable things in our known universe. We use it for all kinds of things. We cannot imagine a world where the sun doesn't shine. Matter of fact, if the sun doesn't shine for very long, there won't be a world to worry about it. All you got to do is lose about 2 or 3% of the heat from the sun, and this planet becomes a big ice cube. If you lost the light of the sun in just a matter of a little while, there wouldn't be any chlorophyll in plants, and all the vegetation would die. We don't think about the sun failing because it's just part of our life. It's part of our world. We need it. We're fixed on it. And we take it for granted that it will always be there. But the day's coming. Now, granted, it's after the tribulation of those days. But that's not nonetheless. The point is, it will fail. The sun will not be eternally in your sky. There's coming a day when it will withdraw its light. I don't know if it blows up. I don't know what happened. All I know is it doesn't give its light anymore. And when the sun doesn't give its light, this old world's in trouble. If the sun fails, the planet will fail. Fifthly, or fourthly, or wherever I'm at, Satan shall fail. Satan shall fail. Now you say, well, that's a good thing. Yeah, but boy, it's going to be a bloody mess getting to that point. Now thank God he's going to fail. But the time to get to that failure embraces a lot of stuff. And it's not going to be a pleasant time. But he does have an end. Now, let me give you just a bit of history about Satan, because he's just been around forever. And he's as much part of our world as anything. We just take Satan for granted. I know you're going to say, well, I don't believe in Satan. Well, you're just an idiot. That's what your problem is. You ain't got enough sense to breathe all by yourself. You probably need to go to the hospital and get some resuscitation. You're going to be comatose before nightfall. Of course there's a Satan. How could there be if there's a God and it has to be a God, you can't have a creation without a creature. Amen. And you can't even imagine a world where there's good without bad. The idea is beyond your intellect, beyond mine, beyond anybody's. Of course there's a Satan. But he has an end. He'll fail. Let me give you an example. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1, 2, and 11 through 17, the Bible has some things to say about Satan. He said, "Thou said in thine heart, I'm a God." That's Satan filled with pride. That's Satan being arrogant. That's Satan saying, I'm as big and powerful as the Almighty Himself. He got puffed up because he was perfect in beauty and filled with wisdom from the day he was created. Then in Ezekiel 28:13, he said, "Thou hast been in the garden of God. Thou was perfect." I was perfect in thy ways from the day of thy creation. So here's Satan, the perfect created being. Not God, not infinite, not always existing, not self-eternal, created being. But as far as created beings go, he is the perfect created being. And he knows it. And he is arrogant. And he is haughty, he is self-centered, he is egotistical, and he decides that he's a God himself, and he will set himself not only alongside God, but above God. Isaiah chapter 14. "Thou hast said in thine heart that I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." Isaiah 14. "But thou shalt be cast down to the earth, and they shall look narrowly upon thee and say, Art thou become weak like us? Art thou also a man?" So this great created being that was perfect in wisdom and perfect in beauty, the anointed cherub that covereth, because of his pride, decides to set himself above the throne of God and above the stars of God. That same being ultimately is cast down to the earth. And Satan was cast down and his angels were cast down with him, and their place was no more found in heaven. Revelation. That being gets cast down. He has to take on flesh and bone. He's a man. And the world doesn't accept him. They don't like him. They persecute him in the end. You say, well, he does this. I know all that. But I'm talking about his end. His end is to fail. The ultimate end is that he's not only imprisoned for 1,000 years, he failed to take Christ off his throne, but he ultimately fails in his mission and his aspirations. In the end, he leads a revolt after 1,000 years against the great God of glory. And fire came down from heaven and devoured. Satan fails. The principle of evil in the universe fails. Won't that be a glorious day? There's some things I'm going to be glad to see fail. And when this old boy fails, the arch enemy of heaven and earth, the arch enemy of all mankind, when he ultimately fails, that'll be a good day for man. Satan fails. He's brought down to hell. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. So, in Ezekiel 28, he's the anointed cherub that covered. He's perfect in wisdom, perfect in beauty in the day that he was created. And from that point on, he begins a gradual decline, and his ultimate end is to fail. His objective of taking the throne of God, his objective of making himself the God of this world, all those things fail. And finally and ultimately, he is brought down to hell itself. The devil will fail. The seas may fail, man will fail, the sun and moon shall fail, and Satan himself shall fail. This is a cheerful message, isn't it? I mean, everybody's just excited so far. I can see you're really into it. You say, we got the point, preacher. No, I got two more points before you've got the point. So you just got to sit there and endure. The heavens shall fail. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. And the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish as a vesture. Thou shalt fold them up. That's always been one of the most intriguing verses to me. You ever want to figure out how big God is? You ever think about the power of the Almighty? I mean, we say that. You know, we call Him the Almighty God. But when you say Almighty, do you have any comprehension about what Almighty must encompass? How big Almighty must really be? It says He will take the heavens and fold them up as a man does like a shirt. I folded a shirt or two, you know. My wife does my t-shirts, and you just lay that thing down there and spread it out and get the wrinkles out and fold that sleeve over and fold that sleeve over, fold that top up, fold that way, and stick it in the drawer. And it's like one of these days God's just going to take His t-shirt off and fold it up and stick it away. They shall perish. Thou shalt fold them up as a vesture. The heavens will fail. I'm talking about the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything that's in it. You know, if there's life on other planets, they got to go. Amen? People say, oh, don't you believe there's life on other planets and people got more advanced civilization we got? I don't know, but I tell you what, they're doomed. I know that. If He takes the whole universe, you're talking about time warp or space warp. It could just be a wrinkle in the fabric. Too much science fiction. That's just too much Bible. Don't ever let your theology, don't ever let your imagination get, this book is bigger than your head. The heavens shall fail. Then, time shall fail. Do you realize that time rules everything in this world? Everything in this world, some way and or another, is related to time. People say, well, I don't have time to do this, and I don't have time. Listen, cowboy, one of these days time's going to fail, and you won't have time. You can't say, I don't have time to do this, and I don't have time to do that. You just won't have time. I mean, as a thing. You with me? There just won't be any more of it. You can open the box and look all you want. There's none of them in there. It's empty. And there shall time shall be no more. You say, what do you run into when you run out of time? You run into eternity. What do you run into when you run into eternity? You run into the eternal God. Now, them little Russian cosmonauts got up there in their little dinky spaceship and got about 75 miles up there and looked around and said, we don't see no God up here. You're just a few hundred thousand light years short of God, stupid. Somebody say amen. The time shall fail. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 6. And sweareth by him that liveth forever and ever that there should be time no more. This whole world is running out of time. It's going to fail. Everything you do depends on time. You've got to have time to breathe. You've got to have time to eat. You've got to have time to die. To everything under heaven, there's a time. What are you going to do when you run out of time? There won't be anything appointed under heaven anymore. Amen. Now, I've given you a list here of things that, in a general sense, we just think they're forever. And that they're always going to operate like they're supposed to. They're just going to always do what they've always done. And to think about any of those things failing, it's just more than we're capable of dealing with. You and I just have a tough time thinking about the sun not shining. We grapple with the concept of the failure of time. The failure of humanity. We've got the world has got unlimited faith in itself. It just thinks if we get enough education and enough technology, we can fix everything. And the more they fix, the bigger mess we're in. You really think that the world is any better off today because of science and education and technology than it was when it didn't have science, education, and technology? It's more unstable, it's more unpredictable, there's more chaos, there's more uncertainty than there's ever been in the history of humanity. We're doing a great job. Of course it's going to fail. Now, I beat it to death. I wanted to illustrate the point that nothing will last forever. And that sooner or later, everything. I don't care what it is. Sooner or later, it failed. It just breaks down, or it becomes inefficient. It gets to where it can't do what it's supposed to do, or you can't do what you're supposed to do. It fails. It just can't get the job done anymore. Now, the title of the message was, Things That Fail Not. Take your Bible and turn to Lamentations chapter 3. This is our text. We will conclude with it. Lamentations chapter 3. Everybody found it? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Everything's going to fail, but God. our God never fails. Never. When the world is in darkness, when the sun and the moon and the stars are gone and the heavens are folded up, Satan is consumed and brought down to the sides of hell, the judgment is taking place, when all is said and done, our God is still there and His compassions fail not. It's of His mercy that we're not consumed. His compassion fail not. When you got up this morning, it was because of the compassion of God allowed you to live. In Him we live and move and have our being. When you fail, when you fall short, God has compassion. God's compassion sent Jesus Christ to Calvary's cross. God's compassion sent the Holy Spirit to knock on your door. The compassion of God saved you. The compassion of God sealed you. The compassion of God keeps you. And the compassion of God daily loadeth you with benefits. The compassions, not just one, it's plural. The compassions of God fail not. When the world is going to hell in a handbasket and nothing makes sense and you don't have the answers and you don't know where to go and you can't find a place to turn, I'm here to tell you that our God and His compassion will not fail. They will be there for you. The darkest day you ever live, His compassion. I'll tell you what, next time you go through a big thing in your life and you're perplexed and confounded, the compassions of God will be a blessing to your heart. To know that you can lift your head and turn to your God and pour out your heart and God will hear. And He won't be hard-hearted. He won't be cold and He won't be distant. His mercy endureth to all generation, and His compassion fails not. I don't know about you, but that's been real important to me. Been real important. And I'm sure that most of us will find the day when it's a joy to our soul to know that the compassions of our God fail not. Just by our head. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Lord, we did a terrible job this morning.